It's showtime.
Hey, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Thomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Thomas, how you doing?
Oh, what's up, bud?
Hey, bud. You know, like, marijuana? Is that what you're talking about? Smoking a J over there?
Yeah, bro.
J stands for jazz cigarette. I don't know.
Smoking a Jason Derulo over here.
Hey, Jason Derulo. Is that why he's always stoned?
Yes.
Is that why I always feel stoned listening to a Jason Derulo song? Like,
do you remember what Jason Derulo's like first, like his big hit that like propelled him onto the scene?
No,
as,
I can't remember a literally
everyone's
one
favorite
Jason Derulo
knockoff
song.
Chris Brown. It was that one that sampled, speaking of tying things back to the OC, because you're talking about how you watch the OC,
yeah.
It was the one that sampled that Imogen Heap song that was in the
yeah.
Dear Sister sketch that was
yeah.
a parody of, that was also used in the OC when someone got shot.
Yeah,
it sampled that. It capitalized on the viral success of the Dear Sister SNL digital short.
That's so wild.
It's so crazy.
That'd be like somebody sampling the David S. Pumpkins music.
Oh, God, I know. Yeah.
Which, why has that not been done yet?
I mean, yeah, I mean,
this is almost 3 years
you,
old.
You say that like it would be ridiculous, but I'm here for whatever wants to sample that. Or someone
yeah.
sampling, like, I'm trying to remember what the name of that Larry David one is. The like, and I'm the coolest bitch in town.
Oh,
the one
yeah,
at that police shooting
that
range where he keeps coming up with weirder,
yeah.
like a more detailed backstory.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but my favorite Larry David SNL sketch from when he hosted was that Totino's one.
The Totino's one is great.
Totino's.
Yeah, the Totino's one is SNL great, and watch
probably one of the best sketches I've ever seen.
Watch that and watch the police shooting range one, because that one was also very clearly written by the same people that wrote the David S. Pumpkins one.
Yeah, nothing's ever going to top David S. Pumpkins, at least Halloween sketches. I'm going on record saying that.
Yeah.
Nothing
any questions?
Going to save it as pumpkin. Any questions? That could be what the song is called. Any questions by
that would be like a dope. That would be like a dope drop. Like if you're like an EDM person,
yeah.
it'd be like the
yeah.
You know, like right before you hit them with the wubs or whatever. It's just like any questions, and then like.
If I knew how to make music like that, I would absolutely put that in right there under you doing it. But I don't.
It's like that,
or just
throw it in the middle of a song, like in, you know, like Kanye West and Jay-Z putting that line from, God damn it. What was that Will Ferrell movie? Blades of Glory. Putting the
yeah,
Blades of Glory
yeah.
line in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, speaking of songs, I've been getting back into Climax by Usher.
Oh, it's a good song.
It's like, it's one of those songs where it would be so good if it ended the first time you think it's going to end, and then it keeps almost ending, and you're always so happy when it comes back. It's just great. Well,
are you saying that Climax is like waves of pleasure? Is that what you're saying?
Interesting. That's a really good point. I hadn't really thought about that.
I hadn't listened to that song in like a couple years, and then it just got stuck in my head at work one time. And then I was
yeah,
thinking, and I was like, when was the last time Usher had a single? It's been too long.
Probably, like, Climax.
I was going to say, like, right around that time, I think that was when, like, Scream was getting a lot of radio play, which is a good song
yeah.
also.
Usher's good. Usher was in The Incredibles 2. Did you know that?
Yeah,
have we talked about that on the show?
Which one was he? Who was he in that?
He is the guy who opened the door for Frozone when he was getting out of the limo. And
that
like,
guy,
biggest
yeah.
fan. Yeah, that's Usher, because Usher is Frozone's biggest fan.
Yeah, where he's like, you're my biggest fan, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah. Usher's so good. He was on The Voice. That's probably why he hasn't been doing music.
Yeah.
This is an Usher podcast now.
He's got other stuff. Yeah, remember when Usher film credits include The Faculty, and he was also in he was in Popstar Never Stop Never Stopping.
Don't need to watch that.
Oh, you haven't seen Popstar?
When do I have the time to watch movies?
You gotta watch. It's like an hour and a half. You have time to watch it.
90 minutes. What is this? An episode of this podcast?
Boom. Got us. Speaking of which, maybe we should talk about the thing that we talked about.
I was just about to transition. Hey, Thomas, did you watch Survivor Borneo last night?
You better believe I did.
I mean, I do.
You better believe me. Or
what
else.
What if I don't? What if I just don't believe that you watched it?
You don't want to know, bro.
Weird threat.
You don't want to go there.
This episode was called The Merger, because they merged their two businesses. First aired July 12th, 2000, which was 18 years and 10 days ago. I would have been 9 years old, July 12th, 2000. How old were you on July 12th of the year 2000, Tomas?
I was 8 years old.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. You know, it's very interesting. I'm, you know, good to know.
How old were you?
I was 9 years old, July 12th, 2000. I see you queuing something up right now, and I'm just waiting for it.
I'm not queuing anything up.
Okay. I feel like you set me up for a roast and then just didn't do anything.
There was someone who was 38 years old at the time who actually has a birthday very near to yours. His name is...
You're so fucking stupid.
Look, if you're going to do this to me every episode...
okay. Last week's episode had 24 and a half million viewers. This one had 24 and a half million viewers. Plateauing, Survivor. Step it up. Never going to be better than 24 and a half million viewers.
I bet they never got more than... I mean, like, maybe the finale of this got more than that, but I bet that, like, subsequent seasons couldn't sustain that kind of momentum. It'd be hard for anything to.
Yeah, definitely. Jeff explains what will happen at the merge to the viewer. Each tribe will send an ambassador to the other camp, and then the two ambassadors will meet and decide which camp they will be staying at. Jenna and Sean are the two ambassadors. Somebody says Rich is a sweetheart. He's naked a lot, which is a fun quote. Gretchen is excited about the new people because she feels like there's not a lot of personalities left at camp. Gretchen, I love you. Gretchen's an all-star.
Yeah, she's one of the more interesting characters on there. This must have been, like, pretty exciting the first time anyone had seen the merge on this. It's like, whoa, what?
For the viewers?
Yeah.
You mean? Yeah. Well, I mean, they kind of mentioned it before. In the past couple episodes, they have been building up to it. So I don't know that it really would have come as a shock to people.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess it would have just been interesting.
Yeah. It would have been cool if they were still doing the drop your buffs thing in 2000, in season one. Like, drop your buffs. What does that mean?
Yeah, people would have, like, pulled their pants down. It would have been a whole thing.
Whoa, we got so many Richard Hatches. Richard's Hatch over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, Richard's did it right. Like, joke's on you, I showed up naked.
Jenna eats really well over at the Toggy Beach, thanks to some fish that Richard caught. Sean does not have a very good time at the Begong Beach. Rudy comes to the realization that if you want to win, you gotta get a little dirty. Words to live by. I have that on a coffee mug. Sue says Sean isn't in our alliance because Sean is dumb.
I mean, look, that's as good a reason as any.
It makes sense to me. Richard says that Sean is ethically against an alliance. I just giggle and think, okay.
What a stupid thing to be against on a season where there is an alliance. Like, the alliance is happening.
Yeah, you understand how numbers work, right?
Like, you're like, vote me out. It's like, what are you going to do, vote me out? Quote from Man Voted Out.
Yeah, yeah. What are you going to do, stab me? So my favorite graphic on local news.
It's really one of the funniest images. It's one of those images that truly, so many, like, you only need to see that one sentence with the qualifier on it, like, and it's like, oh, wow, this tells a whole story.
Yeah. Get out of here, Ernest Hemingway. No baby shoes for me. Is that Ernest Hemingway?
Yeah.
Thanks.
That was indeed Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway had very small feet. That's why he got those shoes. But he was like, these are for babies. I can't wear these.
Yeah, then he was embarrassed because they were for babies. And he wanted people to think he wanted people to think he was a big kid. So
I'm a big kid, I got big shoes. Look at my big boy feet.
He picked up the shoes and the Santa from Nathan for You was like, well, those are for babies. You don't want to be a baby, do you?
At the meeting, Jenna and Sean meet on a spit of land that has a table and beds and a tent for their deliberation. Jeff tells them, I'm having a real hard time with names today. Jeff tells them that they have to come up with a new tribe name, decide where the camp they want to stay at is, and which three items from the tribe that it will be moving, what three items they will bring along.
I'm curious, do they do this every year and then just not show it?
I don't think so.
So this was like the one of the, has there been another season you watched where they did this?
I don't remember them doing it in Australia.
Because they're not typically picking their own name for that tribe either, are they?
No, the new tribe, they always pick their own name, yeah.
Oh, okay. They named it Rattata, the Pokemon.
I wish. Why didn't they? Pokemon was so popular in 2000.
They very nearly named it that.
Yeah. I really liked this segment. I wish that they would do this more often.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I understand that it like takes up time on the episode, but I like the idea of them, you know, nominating someone to go scout out the other camp. I guess they tribe swap enough now that, like, people know.
That's the thing. I don't like tribe swaps as much anymore after watching this season. It's like, part of what makes an alliance good and strong is the relationships that are built over several episodes. And so if you're switching people every two or three episodes, it's like, I guess Scott and Jason are still friends.
The thing with that is, I mean, this first season, they were still figuring so much out that, like, there wasn't a lot of strategy, and I think they, like, as much fun
from
as...
From the production,
as,
you mean?
Yeah, as much fun as this is, they realized, like, well, we can't go through, like, you know, they probably had, the first season that they had where one tribe had everybody voted out, basically, I'm sure they were like, well... I mean, we gotta rebalance these teams, otherwise it's not fair. Like, as the show tilted more to be about strategy than just being like, wow, look at this crazy thing we're trying, I think they had to take that stuff into account more, so you lose some of that, like, that kind of spontaneous feel for it, and some of the authenticity, but it's a very different show now than what it was then.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a viewer, it is very fun when we get a surprise tribe swap. I like, you know, it's a show about people. I like seeing people build relationships with each other.
Yeah, I don't think they should tribe swap. I really don't think they should tribe swap unless they have to balance the teams. Because it seems like they do it just to do it sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, they did it two times or three times.
That's also some shit where they do it multiple times.
Yeah, one time I think is fine. A few episodes in, right before the merge or something. Two times, if it's like a second chances kind of season, I think, you know what, they can handle it, and the viewer can handle it because we already know these people. But a season like Ghost Island, it's like, who's Chelsea?
Yeah, it just unnecessarily screws over some people, too. Like, if you do it arbitrarily, then it's like, oh, yeah, hey, you were playing a good game on your tribe? Fuck you, you're gonna get voted out for no reason.
Yeah. Okay. And when the tribes... I'm just thinking about next season, David versus Goliath. Is it David versus Goliath or David and Goliath?
I think versus Goliath.
Okay. Then they better not tribe swap at all, because then you'll have Davids and Goliaths on the same tribe. And so it should have been called David and Goliath.
Mass hysteria. Davids and Goliaths living together.
I'm not here for it. This scene with Jenna and Sean on the spit reminded me a lot of that scene in Lost when Ben kidnaps Kate and
yep.
makes breakfast for her on the beach. Do you think...
Evangeline Lilly, star of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I've not seen it. Made a pretty good joke about Ant-Man and the Wasp yesterday at the Garfield Park Conservatory here in Chicago, Illinois.
Beautiful Chicago, Illinois.
Ever heard of it?
The Windy City.
There was a plant called something like Ant Tree or something like that.
Were you like Ant Tree and the Wasp?
Yeah, and then everyone laughed in the whole building.
Everyone thought it was really funny.
Made a lot of really good plant-based jokes at the conservatory, and
that was like an excerpt from Dan Pfeiffer's, which I also think is hilarious that that guy's name is Dan Pfeiffer because of do you remember the Dan Pfeiffer commercials?
Yeah.
Do you remember what the Dan Pfeiffer jingle is? Please intersperse the Dan Pfeiffer jingle if you can find
it. Yeah, I'll put it in right here.
There's a guy who just goes through his life having that name, and he's also probably the least...
Do we know he's not the same guy?
I mean, I don't think the time would match up very well, because he's, like, in his 30s, but...
Yeah. Well, we don't know how old Dan Pfeiffer was when we were kids.
Also, I also think it's funny that he's the one of the PSA guys that writes a book, because he's the one people... as someone who's not a fan of the show, I'm fairly certain he's the one people care the least about.
As a person who does listen to that show.
He's the Jannetty to Johnny Favestar's, and by that I mean Jon Favreau, Jon Favreau's Shawn Michaels.
Sure. Okay.
Because they were the ones that did Keeping It 1600, and then when they moved to do Crooked Media, Dan Pfeiffer became significantly less important.
I think he has another show, but like everybody has multiple shows on that network. And he's also only on like one episode a week, and they do two. Like John, the director of Iron Man, is on every episode.
Yeah. Him and John Lovitz.
Yeah. I would so much rather listen to a political show.
I love so much that the two biggest people on that podcast are people who have names that either other people have or other people almost have.
Yeah, the challenge almost same names.
They could be on there. They could be on challenge same names or almost same names because they're both named John. They're all named John.
You know what I learned today, speaking of Jon Favreau? The final line in Iron Man was improvised. That's not how that movie was supposed to
end. Oh, the, like, I'm Iron Man thing that he says?
I am Iron Man. Yeah, that was so... Like, that's a good
movie,
but, like,
do you think he did it as a joke? Like, he's like, it'd be really funny if I said, I am Iron Man here.
No, I think Robert Downey Jr. just realized the opportunity and he took
it. Oh, like, this would actually be a cool ending. Yeah, it was a much better ending for the movie than whatever they were gonna do, but,
apparently they were gonna, like, have him read off a statement and, like, try to hide his identity more. But, like, it's just so much better.
Anyway, the thing that I brought this up for in the first place was,
because
you're talking about how everyone in the entire room was laughing.
Because I'm so funny with my Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Because they were all there, just off-screen laughing, too. But, there was an anecdote on that where he said that there was some sort of like celebrity fundraiser thing that Obama was at, and they had people like talking to him or whatever, and they gave Kanye the mic at one point, and Kanye just kept talking forever, and Obama like pretended like he was listening very intently to it, and then just sort of like was like, oh, I think you make some good points or whatever. And then when they went to get back on the plane, he was like, oh, I was wondering if Obama was going to be mad at us because we brought him to this thing. And he turned to us and said, that shit cray. And we all laughed. And he says that they laughed for pretty much the entire plane ride back, which is one of the most insane things I've ever heard.
Were they
for
flying
like,
from
for
Chicago
like,
to Grand Rapids?
The president made a reference!
The president, who was in his 40s when he was elected, made a reference to pop culture.
Yeah,
that is
he
popular.
Knows what hip-hop is! These guys are dorks.
I begrudgingly listen to that podcast.
I understand listening to it, because they do actually do, like, some stuff. Like, the stuff that they do to help people coordinate, like, calling their congressmen and stuff, like, I that's a vital service.
They work a lot with like, what's that organization that gets people to register to vote? Vote or Die, the P. Diddy thing. But whatever that organization is called, like, does it at live events and stuff. Like, that's really cool. They do it at all of their live events and then, you know, concerts and whatever else. But
no, that's all important.
Why are we talking about this?
This literally, I derailed you talking about... Okay, this all started because you said that the scene with the two people together was like a scene from Lost.
Yep, that's in my notes. And then... Oh, because Evangeline Lilly... And then...
Jake, we have to go back to talking about Survivor. We were not supposed to leave.
Have you been following Lost out of context on Twitter?
No, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, it just started a few days ago.
I'm going to follow it immediately.
I think I've retweeted every single thing they've posted so far.
That's the perfect out of context show.
It's so good.
It's the absolute perfect thing because, Lost without context, is the most disorienting random shit possible.
It is disorienting with context. There's one today where Locke just says to Sawyer, "The sand. You have to talk to the sand." And then there's the one with Jack doing CPR on Rose in the first episode. He's just yelling, "Does anyone have a pen?"
Yes! Does anyone have a pen?
I need a pen. Does anyone have a pen? Oh, my God. So Lost is a great show. It premiered 4 years after this show, which is called Survivor. This episode was called Utter Revenge.
I'm so excited for this account.
I was 9 years old. It's so good.
One of them is just Claire saying, "Why do I remember peanut butter?"
It's so funny.
There's another one. Who's saying, "Why is there a dead Pakistani on my couch?"
Oh, I think that was Hurley's mom. Back on the mainland.
Oh, yeah.
In a flash forward or sideways or whatever. So this moment in the show Survivor was nice. It gets dark and Jenna sees that her tribe's fire is still burning. So she pours some kerosene on the fire that she and Sean have to, like, say hi to them. And I thought that was very nice. So then they stay in the tent overnight. And it's just a good segment.
I'm so distracted by this. I don't do taco night.
Oh, that one's so good, too. Should we do... we talk about Lost often enough that I think it should have its own sounder. How about the Lost theme song?
I like that.
Or, alternately, it can be us doing that noise just now. That's probably more fun, right? Okay, on the Pagong Beach, the next morning, Sean and Jenna take their boat over to the beach and tell them that they are moving. Gretchen lets us know that she thinks she would have been more comfortable on the Tagi tribe from the beginning. She didn't really get along with anybody on Pagong.
Yeah, doesn't she say that they had, like, more personalities or something on
She's
there?
Not wrong. She is not wrong. They had, like, Jervis on their tribe, and that's the only person... on Pagong, right? Who else was on Pagong that, like, people still talk about?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yep, me neither. Okay, so the new tribe name is Rattata, like the rat.
The rat Pokemon.
The rat Pokemon, because there's a lot of them on the island, that's why they called it that.
A lot of rats, a lot of snakes.
Rat eats the snake. Nope, it's the other way around, right?
That would be really funny if the rat ate the snake.
Oh, did you see that picture on Twitter of the tortoise killing that rattlesnake?
No, that
Go to my Twitter, I retweeted it. I think
that is extremely my shit.
This podcast is called Twitter...
Jake's Twitter feed.
Jake's Twitter feed, the podcast, where we just talk about Twitter in an even less organized way. The new tribe is Rattata. Greg takes in the new surroundings and says, "I think Rich thinks he's very clever. Rich is playing a big game." Love hearing the phrasing since the very beginning. Day one. They're still using that kind of phrasing.
Day one-ish. Down since.
Yeah. Oos. Thomas. Thomas.
What?
I said Oos, you didn't respond.
Oh?
There we go. Alright, that's Wrestling Corner for this week. The shelter breaks while they're trying to make it bigger. Everybody then discusses the differences of how men and women bond. This was a very 2000s scene also, early 2000s scene. Richard and Jervis play cards together, that's nice. At night, they swap stories around the fire, and then Rudy says, I don't know, they're talking to the camera, I don't know. They talk about a lot of sex stuff. I love Rudy so much.
He's, like, he's almost childlike.
Yes. Yes, he's very good.
He's not what I expected at all. It's great.
Yeah, I was expecting him to be... I mean, he is kind of crotchety, but I was expecting a lot more crotchetiness than he's given us, and that's good. I think it's a good combo of crotchetiness and also, like, gung-ho-ness. That's all right. That's a word. At the immunity challenge, first immunity challenge of the individual game, the postseason, as we like to call it. Wait, okay, preseason is pre-merge, right? Postseason
is the reunion show.
It's final. Regular season is like merge, and then postseason, I guess.
Postseason's the finale, I guess.
So like final 5-6, depending.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good metaphor. I've been thinking about that more often than you might expect. Okay, immunity challenge. They have to hold their breath underwater. Sure. The final three to surface move on to round two, where they have to race.
That sounded like something like Jeff made up on the spot. Yeah. What are we doing this week, Jeff? I don't know. Let's see who can hold their breath the longest.
Really? That's it? Yeah, we didn't really have a budget for a challenge this week. I would love if they like didn't even bother going underwater and they just like sat on the beach holding their breath like with their cheeks real big. That would be funny.
Let's. We'll see. You can do the most push-ups. I don't know.
Yeah, fucking do it. It's a fucking game. Who gives a shit anymore? Apathetic Jeff Probst is. You know, it's a face we haven't gone through yet. I don't think, but I.
Yeah, like Jeff Probst after he's like playing out the string because he's having contract disputes and him just being like, "Welcome to Survivor." I guess
this season's
called
some dumb shit. I don't fucking know.
It might be fun. What theme are we doing? I don't know.
Look, this is the idol you wanted. Fucking go get it. And he just, like, throws it. First one to find it wins the whole show. Round two of...
Someone gives him a fake idol, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
Okay, sure. Oh, nobody got votes. You're all still in it. Good job. Round two, they have to race underwater and release a bunch of buoys. Greg wins the whole thing. Good job, Greg. That's his nickname now. Good job, Greg. Can't wait to use that nickname for several weeks to come.
Good gob, Greg.
Good. back at camp, Richard says, even though we're not on two separate teams anymore, I'm still on a team. Richard Hatch knows how to play this game so well already. Every single week I am surprised by how well he adapted to it, how quickly. Same shit, different week. Survivor. Why didn't they go with that for the tagline instead of Outlast, Outplay? Same shit, different week. That would have been good, too.
That would be a pretty good one.
Same shit my dad says every week. CBS.
Oh, God, remember that?
Yeah.
I'm excited for CBS to do, like, a dog rates TV show next.
I would watch that
show,
to be
honest.
You
know you shouldn't. Have you ever read any interview with that guy?
That one that got really...
That guy is a sociopath.
Yeah, probably. But here's the thing. If there was a show, like a cooking type show, or like a Project Runway type show where they just... I'm talking about a dog show. The Westminster Kennel Club dog show.
Something
like
that.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I was like, I would love to see dogs be rated on television. That's a thing that already exists.
Yeah, I don't know if that guy would do that show because I don't know if it would be about him. And I think that would be the issue for him.
It could be. RuPaul's Drag Race. I haven't seen that show, but RuPaul's name is in it, so I assume RuPaul's in it a lot. Tyra Banks' show. What's it called? America's Next Top Model? She's all over that shit. Except for that one season
that
she didn't host. What?
said, I suppose that's true. The difference there is that those people were already famous.
We're famous. We should host the dog show.
Yes, we should.
We should host the dog show after the presidential corner. What's that fucking thing called that we're going to host? I should probably know that if we're going to host it.
The White House Correspondents' Dinner?
That's the one. Once we're
Did
done
you
with
call
that,
it the presidential corner?
I just called it the president's corner. Because I'm a smart person.
The president's corner sounds like a Sesame Street-style like TV show, but the president does it. It's like a children's entertainment show.
This sounds like a great idea for a show.
Especially with our current president.
Am I right, guys?
Listen, kids, okay, I could have had Bo Derek at any time from 1982 to 1985, Vanity Fair has always been very unfair to me. They should call it Vanity Unfair.
That's very good. That's a very good bit. Greg believes alliances are boring. Okay, great. Let's get into these wildlife shots. How do you feel about the wildlife shots? I was just stalling while I write down the time.
I feel like they're not as good with those shots. They hadn't really gotten the transitions down yet. The wildlife shots aren't bad, they're just not as good.
Not as polished as they are today. I can understand that, yeah. But still some good animals in there. Although,
they're good animals, Jork. Give me $1 million.
Hey, you know the easiest way to...
Am I famous yet?
You know how to get $1 million? You win Survivor. That's what I was gonna say, and then I was like, what if instead this was just a better joke, and then I could not come up with one in time? Okay, so there was a snake, as there always is, there was a crab, as there always is, there was the bandit.
Jake, you know what's cooler than winning $1 million? Winning Survivor. $1 billion.
Oh! All winter season, they should do $1 billion.
CBS, like, we're giving you $1 billion. This is the worst financial decision a company has made since the creation of MoviePass.
Well, look, the guy who greenlit Lost was fired literally the next day, and then it was their most successful TV show in, like, 20 years. So, you tell me who's wrong. It ain't me.
Sometimes failure is success.
Correct.
Like MoviePass.
I don't really know what's going on with MoviePass, and I don't care to talk
They're
about
definitely
it.
Stealing your data, but I don't even think that's enough to make up for the amount of money they're losing.
That's fine. I mean, it's not, but, you know, again, I don't use MoviePass.
I don't either.
But
the thing with that is, like, I probably should use it because, like, the only people being hurt by MoviePass are the people that made MoviePass.
Right.
Like, the theaters are still getting the money.
I want to get it, but I'm afraid that if I pay, like, the 60 or 100 bucks or whatever for the year-long pass, like, the next day it's going to fold, and then I paid $600 to see Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Can't you pay, like, a monthly fee for it?
When I looked into it, it was, like, it was a one-time fee that...
Nah, that makes sense. They need that money right now. Very badly.
Okay, so those were the wildlife shots on Survivor, but the challenge also had a few wildlife shots, and I specifically wanted to talk about them, because one was a bird with a big yellow beak. Toucan Sam is his name. Does Toucan Sam have a yellow beak, or is it a rainbow?
Rainbow beak. He does not have a... He has, like, a black beak with rainbow colors. It's fucking Fruit Loops!
Yeah, I don't eat fucking Fruit Loops.
He says, follow my nose. Why would he, like, it's part of it is, like, his nose has different colors, because he's looking for the different colored Fruit Loops.
Yeah, that tracks. The other wildlife shot...
That's not really the kind of gotcha moment this show has become famous for. It's not like you thinking udders were a thing that you steer a boat with.
I didn't say you...
Yes, you did.
I didn't say you steer the boat with the rudder. I said
no, you said you steer the boat with the udder.
I said it's the thing that makes the... You know what? We don't need to talk about this
Jake,
anymore.
That wasn't the problem. The problem was not that.
I don't think there's a problem at all. I think we're all just...
This is not a dispute over what the rudder does.
But you did ask me what the rudder did, and I did not say it steers the boat. I said... The steering wheel steers the boat.
turns the boat?
It points the boat in a certain direction.
Yeah, okay. Well, I look
like how an udder points in a certain direction at a cow.
That's the same thing.
That's egg, so similar.
Egg all over, scrambled egg all over my face there, as the Frasier theme song says.
There was also a South African giraffe in the challenge. We've never talked about a giraffe, I don't think, on this segment.
South Giraffican.
Yeah, that. There are as many as 9 subspecies of South African giraffe. Did I bother looking those up? No, because I
giraffes
didn't really
want
to do
fucking
this.
Weird animals.
I love a giraffe.
They're good. They're good.
What
don't
are your top 5 favorite animals, Thomas?
Sloths. I like cranes. I like
cranes in the sky. Not the stand up elbows about that.
I like tortoises.
Good.
It's good that we brought that up earlier because it's an animal I like. I like seals a lot. They're the dogs of the water. They're very nice animals.
Yep.
And capybaras.
Capybaras. Wow, I can't believe you didn't bring up fucking elephants.
Oh,
elephants
you're right.
are so good. Oh,
God,
elephants
are
great.
Really
elephants are such a good animal.
No,
how
you're
dare
right.
you not bring up elephants?
I didn't say I didn't say octopi animals. Either, which actually should be in my top 5.
Yeah, mine too. Anyway, the South
there's
African,
just so many good animals. Is the
there's
problem.
A lot of them. Yeah, they have dark rounded spots. The giraffe. They eat leaves and flowers and fruit and shoots of woody plants.
Sure.
And final fun fact about the South African giraffe. They are a threatened species. Cool. Okay, let's move on quickly.
That sucks. The woody plants thing is great because it makes me think of friend of the pod, Brian at Cosmos on Twitter, was describing one of his coworkers who's like nice but like kind of dumb in like a very naive kind of way, despite being like pushing 30, and at one point he was trying to describe Guardians of the Galaxy because he couldn't remember what the title of it was, and he described it as that movie with the raccoon and the wood tree.
He's not wrong.
I mean, look, I appreciate the attention to detail there. The specifics are... It's good to have something clarifying like that in case someone is thinking of it as a movie about a raccoon and, like a metal tree. Maybe there's a fake Christmas tree. Who knows?
So, this weekend, I finally met your friend and now mine, Kat. And not a cat, a human. But I was trying to... We were talking about horror movies, and I was like, oh, yeah, what's that one? And I was trying to explain the horror movie that I was thinking of, but I could not for the life of me remember what it was called. And I was like, the only way to describe it sounds like literally every horror movie. I was like, it's a bunch of teens, they go to a house, there's some scary guys, they get murdered, guy at a gas station is like, don't go to that house, but they do anyway. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And then somebody brought up Texas Chainsaw Massacre later, and I was like, oh yeah, that's the movie. That's the one I was thinking of. And then they continued to roast me about it for, well, still, to this day, which is the
but,
next
I
day,
mean,
but.
That's, as someone who enjoys roasting you, you did make a point of saying, like, this is just going to sound like a formula for a bunch of other horror movies. Like, you knew.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you were like, duh, what's the only horror movie that has this kind of thing in it?
The only one, and everybody saw it, and it was so good that they were like, we can't recreate this. Yeah. Anyway, that's a good movie.
Lay off the guy.
Thank you.
Protect Jake.
Yeah. I also heard that you and your roommate and my good friend were talking a lot of shit to me about me to Kat before she came down here.
What are you talking about?
Just like you guys kept saying I was dumb and illiterate, and I definitely know how to read.
Look, I'm sorry that we were being truthful. Sorry that we were giving her all the facts. She kept talking about how I had walked into a wall one time and then gotten up and then gotten up and pretended that it didn't happen.
It didn't happen. That's not what
happened. It did. Jake. You have two eyewitnesses that saw this.
No, but you guys didn't see my feet. It's about
we
feet.
Absolutely saw your feet.
No, you were on the other side.
No, we weren't on the other side of anything. We were in a kitchen.
Where was it? Okay.
There was nothing for us to be on the... We were not on the other side of the kitchen island. I will fight you over this.
Okay.
I was like 5 feet away from you.
Here's what... I'm sure... There were 143 episodes into this podcast. I'm sure we've discussed this before.
Oh, we absolutely have.
I want to make...
This podcast lore right here.
We were at our friend Preston's house. It's a wood floor in the kitchen. We were in...
Wood floor made from wood trees.
From wood trees, like the guy in that movie. And I was walking toward the refrigerator.
Yep.
Thomas and Preston were sitting at, like, the kitchen island.
Yeah.
Not paying attention to me.
No, we were paying attention to you.
Thomas, wait.
We were paying attention to you, Jake.
No, you
this
were
is where
not.
You are an un- this is where you are an unreliable narrator. Preston and I watched the whole thing because we turned and looked at each other afterwards because you thought we didn't see you when we did, and then we started laughing because you tried to pretend that it didn't happen.
I slipped because I was not wearing shoes. I was only wearing socks on very slippery wood floor.
It was not a very slippery wood floor. I have never slipped on that wood floor in my life, and I have worn socks on it every time that I have been in his house.
I have only one time. You know I'm a clumsy person. I was very close to the wall when I slipped, so it looked like, if you weren't paying attention, that I walked into the wall. I did not walk into the wall.
It also looked like that if you were paying attention, which we were, and we saw it, and we saw what you did.
It didn't happen. That's not how it happened. You're missing a very important detail, which is the slippery floor.
The floor that no one else has ever slipped on.
Okay, well, sorry I was wearing really fuzzy socks. Jeez, oh, Pete.
Really fuzzy socks would not make it more slippery. Your story does not add up, is what I'm saying.
Well, it does, actually.
If anything, fuzzy socks would give you more traction, so...
No, there's no... Okay, remember the magic school bus?
This is...
Story of a girl, cried a river and drowned the whole world.
Objection, relevance.
When she smiles.
Mr. Scheidel, where are you going with this?
Okay, there's an episode of The Magic School Bus where they go to a hockey rink and Miss Frizzle explains friction to them. That floor was very slippery, so there was not a lot of friction.
Yeah, it
so
wasn't...
The socks...
Yeah, Jake, they didn't explain friction by going into someone's kitchen and being like, oh, yeah, sometimes these wood floors get really slippery. It's not a metaphor! They were on a fucking ice rink!
Miss Frizzle looked directly at the camera and said, Jake... You're going to need this later in life. And I said, okay, Miss Frizzle, I believe you.
What is metaphor? They're explaining friction and they went on a fucking slippery surface. What is metaphorical about that?
Sometimes it's not going to be a hockey rink. Sometimes it's going to be your friend's slippery kitchen floor. And there's going to be a wall there and you're going to be close to it. And the angles will make it look like you walk...
specific.
It's a long episode.
Jake, did you from the future go back in time and write?
No,
like, did you find a time machine and then go? You found a time machine and you went back in time and wrote The Magic School Bus.
Look, the future's a long time.
Which is the only explanation for that episode where the stupid glasses kid that everyone hated took off his helmet in space and didn't die.
That was the first episode.
Look, they wanted you to know what kind of show it was right off the bat.
You have to raise the stakes and then immediately lower them.
And then he put it on and was like, he put it back on and was like, I lived, bitch.
Okay, let's talk about this tribal council. Rich says that everyone being together hasn't changed tribe dynamics. Everybody still gets along really well. Sean is still planning on voting who would be the most fun to hang out with. How do you not get this game at this point? Sean, you're right. Sue was right about Sean. He is stupid. He's the me of Survivor. So they vote, and the votes are one for Jenna, one for Rich, one for Gretchen, one for Rudy, one for Sue, one for Colin, one for Jervis, one for Gretchen, and a total of four for Gretchen. I meant to look this up, but I think this might be the most vote receivers ever in one tribal council.
It really was, yeah, just a lot of people not voting strategically at all.
Yeah, like, you know there's an alliance that is strong, or at least you can assume. Everybody's talking about it. So why...
I can't hear a word they're saying.
So why not do the same thing? Like, what... Like, one... You know...
Well, that one guy was like, I am morally opposed to alliances.
You know in the wrestling when there's, like, a 3-on-1 handicap match? It's like there's more on one side, you know? So they have a better chance.
This would be like if you went to a tag team match in wrestling with just one person and were like, they said I could have a partner, but I didn't feel like it.
Yeah. Y'all aren't Braun Strowman.
Even Braun Strowman had Nicholas.
I know. So mad that they had to relinquish that championship. But he's got the belt now. Well, he will have the belt in a month.
Yeah, he's got the briefcase now.
Yeah. What do you think's... this is Wrestling Corner now, officially. What do you think is going to happen at Extreme... Not Extreme Rules. Fuck, what's the next one called? Brock Lesnar loses his championship. The pay-per-view.
SummerSlam.
Brock's going to drop...
I think Brock is going to retain, and then Braun is going to cash in.
I mean, everybody's expecting it, because...
Also, who is Brock even going to be wrestling? That's what I want to know.
Is that a real question?
Yeah.
Or are you being sarcastic? It's going to be either Bobby Lashley or...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they had Bobby Lashley and Roman
that
Reigns.
That or, I don't know, maybe they'll have whoever wrestles him win, and then Braun cashes in, and then that sets up that feud.
Because... I think that's got to be what they're going to do.
Because that sort of writes Brock out of the whole equation.
Yeah. What I want to see, and I know they're not going to do this, I want to see Brock's music hit, like, really early in the match, and then him just, like, hang outside the ring, holding the briefcase, just waiting, and just, like, menacing them. I think that would be really cool. I don't think that's what's going to happen, but
no.
That would be a cool thing. Yeah, Bobby and Roman had a match at Extreme Rules. Bobby Lashley won, and then they had 2 3-on-3 matches, not 3-on-3, 3-person matches, on Raw the other night. The winner of each would have a match to face Brock. Guess who fucking won each one?
Bobby Lashley and Roman Reigns?
Yeah. How are you gonna push your talent if you keep pushing the same two guys who nobody's super into?
Yeah, people don't really care about Bobby Lashley. They did a really bad job of capitalizing on the one, you know, his return when people were like, oh yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah. Maybe he'll win. That would be...
It would be better than having Roman do it, but also, yeah, because it's better to have somebody who is steadily losing heat than have somebody that the crowd is actively hostile to every single time.
Well, no, yeah, I could see a Braun-Roman feud. Because everybody loves Braun, and everybody hates Roman. They just have to turn Roman, which is going to be the easiest thing to do in the world.
Yeah, but they're not... How many times have we been saying that they need to do that?
I know.
I just don't think they're going to do it.
So they're going to turn Braun?
No, I mean, Braun's a tweener. Like, you don't have to turn him.
He's the lightest tweener. Not literally, but...
His character is just that he beats people up. So he can either be a monster heel that beats people up or a monster face that beats people up. He doesn't really have to change much.
I know. But he still gets pops.
No, he's positioned as a face right now. I'm just saying they don't need to make it a whole thing if they turn him.
No, I know. I understand it'll be easy. It's just not interesting. I mean, not that it's not interesting. It would be more interesting if they were to turn Roman.
Yeah. Hey, let's stop talking about this.
Yep, that's the Wrestling Corner. Great stuff. Challenge Junk Time. Melissa and Kayla were kicked off. So Cam and Kaylee. Join forces. Johnny, Banana's teammate, is finally revealed to be Tony. The challenge is to throw your partner into a bunch of hanging discs and grab as many discs as possible. Brian and Kyle won. And then there was no official elimination. Two episodes into the season, nobody's been eliminated yet.
This is why I don't watch this show.
I don't know why they made this change a few seasons ago. It's bad.
Yeah, I know why they did it, because they can stretch the show out longer.
That's also bad.
Yeah. I mean, that means more ad revenue, if people are watching
that's
it.
That's also bad.
No, that's bad. We don't want that.
I want a free show where all the people I like are on it, and nobody I don't like is on it.
This all sounds good to me.
Basically, I want Survivor.
Yeah, we've never disliked anyone who's on Survivor.
I can't think of a single person. Everybody's got their qualities. Yep, good sentence. Okay, so that's whatever the fuck it just was. Hashtag The Miz on Survivor. We want to get Mike The Miz Mizanin on Survivor. So use the hashtag. Hashtags always work. Just like Figtails on the Challenge worked. Michaela B on the Challenge worked. TJ on Survivor worked. CT on Survivor worked.
Ryan Dunn on Survivor.
Ryan Devlin.
Yeah, Ryan Dunn's dead.
Yeah. Was he one of the guys from Jackass?
He was the Jackass man that died in a drunk driving crash.
Yeah, okay. Okay. You can follow us on Twitter, DYWSLN. Oh, I didn't put this in my notes, because I know you don't care very much about it, but I meant to tell you last week, but I forgot about it. Are You the One? Season 7 is called Something, and it starts August 8th. How old will you be on August 8th, Thomas?
I will be 26 years old.
Cool.
a week from then, I will be 27.
Ooh. A week from August 8th, I'll also be 27. So, you're not the only cool one.
I guess I'm not special.
How long do you think you're going to be 27?
Since probably like a year.
Sounds good. Some people do it forever.
Yeah, I you know, I'm not trying to be, like, dramatic about it.
No, I appreciate that. You can follow me on Twitter at Jake Shadell. Thomas, you can follow Thomas on Twitter. Thomas, did you know that there's another Tom.Tom on Twitter, but without the underscores?
Yeah, fucking back off is what I say. Yeah. I was here first.
Tom.Tom. Thomas is the one with the underscores. Maybe people have been following the other guy, thinking it's you, and they're like,
probably not that many. I bet I have more followers than him.
Yeah, I didn't look at his profile. I just saw it existed. When I was looking for your profile, this is the end of the show now. You can review us on Apple Podcasts. Okay, have a great summer.
Deuces. In the day we sweat out on the streets of a runaway American dream. At night we ride through mansions of glory and suicide machines. Spun from cages on Highway 9. Chrome wheel fuel injected iron. Stepping out over the line. Baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. I wanna get out while I'm still young. Those tramps like us. Baby, we were born to run. Well, when did you let me in? I want to be your friend. I want to guard your dreams and visions. Just wrap your legs around these velvet rims. Strap your hands across my engine. Into.
Oh, we also talked a lot about how you love the Black Eyed Peas.
Damn, I love the Black Eyed Peas.
I love the Black Eyed Peas so much. I didn't know that.
If loving the Black Eyed Peas is wrong, I don't want to be right.
We were watching the OC. So I had mentioned that I had never seen the OC.
Oh, fuck yeah.
And Kat and Sahana were like, we have to watch the first
episode. Dude, the OC fucking rules. At least, like, the first season of it is good, and then it's not very good after that. Yes, it is. You know what I,
okay, well,
you know what I like
that first episode did not impress me.
You know what I like
much.
About Rich Kids? Nothing.
Nothing. That's the second episode.
That's, well, the best thing with Ryan is that Ryan just, like, punches at, like, one person per episode. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the OC, bitch.
Yeah. I also love how Seth Cohen is supposed to be, like, this sweet, charming guy, and he's just the absolute worst.
Oh, he sucks.
I was like, who is this jerk off?
Yeah, like, the whole, like, one of the main plots of the first season is, like, I'm juggling two chicks, I can't decide who to date.
Really?
Also, I'm a nerd. I mean, the actor is attractive.
I know, but his whole characterization in the first episode was like, I like video games and a girl I've never talked to. So then, to be like, two girls, though. That's interesting. I guess I gotta watch the rest of the season. Also, I forgot McGee was a producer on that show.
He certainly was.
God, we just watched a lot of bad content last night.
What else did you watch?
And then we watched The Room. And then we were gonna start watching Baby Driver. We got like 5 minutes in, and I got really annoyed with Kat because she kept talking through it. And so we turned on Jupiter Ascending.
That doesn't sound. That doesn't sound like her talking through things.
Yeah. I was like, it's my fault for being mad. I should have known better. I've known this person for 24 hours. I should have known better. Maybe we were born to run. Love Boyhood solely because I love School of Rock. I talked about School of Rock a lot this weekend, too. Mike White.
Yeah. Mike White.
Mike White. Bruno.
That's not what that's from.
Same thing. Why didn't Bruno have a My Wife? Or did he? Nobody saw that movie.
Yeah, it's because no one cared about it.
My Male Wife.
Sorry. I also love that My Wife became a thing when it's not like it was like a catchphrase. Like, he said, this is my wife at one point in the movie and that's it.
I feel like he said it a few times.
He might have said it like another.
My wife.
He might have said it like one other time, but it wasn't like a thing he was saying a lot.
You know what? We gotta rewatch Borat, I think.
The thing that he would always say was Yag Shamash, because that's either a made up high or it's like actually what. You know.
Not a great catchphrase. You know what is a good catchphrase? My wife.
My wife.
Do you have any good bits to end the show with? In the post-show scenes?
Like I got a couple good bits, and it's my dick and balls.
You're fired now.